Okay, Carl, thank you for joining us, and you're very welcome to COY 104 FM. And obviously, you have the plans for your wind farm. Can you give us a bit of an outline of what's expected to happen?
Yeah, so we're in the early stages of developing an onshore wind farm in West Waterford, East Cork. We started the process meeting the community last May, where we held a consultation event with the local community, and we're now in the process of engaging further on door-to-door engagement and just explaining to everybody what actually we're planning here. So exactly what we're planning is up to 25 wind turbines, which will be fed into the national grid.
Right. And these turbines are, as you say, 25, but they're about 150 metres high, is that correct?
At the moment, we're planning 150 metre high turbines, yes.
Yeah. Now, your planning permission hasn't been submitted yet, but it's due to go to An Bord Pleanála later this year or soon?
Well, that's yet to be determined, actually. We're, as I said, we're in the early design phase of the project. So we're currently in consultation with An Bord Pleanála. We've also met with the local authorities, and it will be. So we currently haven't got a submission date for the planning. But once we have fully engaged widely on the project with local stakeholders, local community, have fully designed the project, a good responsible project, then we will be able to confirm a submission date.
Okay, fine. And it's only fair that I ask you as well, or put to you some of the questions that were posed by Waterford Wind Aware. And one of them was that you're actually putting this through as a strategic infrastructure development, which means that you can effectively bypass local authority approval and go straight to An Bord Pleanála. Is that correct?
The current legislation is that if a wind farm is 50 megawatts, so that's the energy output or the installed capacity of the project, or has 25 turbines or more, it's then deemed to be strategic infrastructure development.
So that's actual renewable energy policy?
Exactly. That is our national planning policy. So once it's deemed infrastructure development, the local authorities then become statutory consultees. So the project, be it now, is not unique to wind farm development. Any strategic infrastructure then is submitted directly to An Bord Pleanála. And the local authorities, which would be Cork County Council and Waterford County Council in this instance, would be the statutory consultees. So that you would have to consult with them along the process. I said that's not unique for wind farm development. This is for any strategic infrastructure.
Okay, fine. And just one of the other points that they've suggested is the planning process isn't fit for purpose when it comes to industrial wind farms and is weighted in favour of, I guess, you guys, the developers. You know, how do you respond to this?
Well, how we go about responsible development is, first of all, we carry out a significant due diligence and screening on locations. And one of the key criteria that we look at first is the local county development plan. So we would have studied the Waterford and the Cork County development plan quite extensively. And that gives us a guide or an idea of where in those areas that areas are open for consideration. That doesn't mean it's a green light by any means, but it gives you a focus area. After that, then, we start working on the ground and do significant constraint studies. And what I mean by that is setback distances from key receptors, etc.
Perhaps you could just explain what setback is?
Excuse me?
Can you just explain to our listeners what setback is?
So, for instance, from water courses, you would set back a certain distance. In other words, you will not build a turbine within 50 metres of water course, or you will not locate a turbine within up to 700 metres or more from local property. So it's to minimise setback. It's also from public roads, etc. So there's a significant amount of screening that goes underway, and we're in the middle of that process at the moment. We haven't completed that screening, and that's why we're meeting with the local stakeholders, local councillors, local county council members, and also, more importantly, the people who live nearest the project. We're on the door-to-door, talking to those people and just explaining to them what our plans are.
And what has the response been from the public, those that you've knocked on doors?
It's mixed, be honest, it's a mixed response. Some people are quite interested and very, you know, trying to understand more. Some people have some concerns, which is understandable from when somebody brings something new proposal in your area. And some then in the community would completely understand the benefits and the wider benefits, both local and national, for renewable energy. You know, so it's definitely a very a mixed bag, which is quite my experience in developing projects is
pretty normal.
These days, our project is quite normal.
Yeah. So if I look at where you're building it, then, and people have concern, particularly at the last meeting that was held in Youghal in the Red Store down there, the effect that it would have on Youghal, which is further downhill, affecting the water for contamination, making it undrinkable, discoloured, silty, and muddy, etc. And this is from a retired mechanical engineer. What mitigations would you be putting in place to look at that?
Well, first of all, in our initial screening that we carried out on the site, we would look at all the key receptors, which include water. So we look at that and we determine how can we minimise the risk. Now, in developing any construction project in Ireland, any large civil project in Ireland, water is one of the key receptors. Obviously, we get a lot of rain and water in East Cork and West Waterford. I live in the countryside myself. I have a private well, so I understand the sensitivities around water. But the development of large civil projects in areas such as we've selected is not new in Ireland. There's wind farms and other civil projects have been constructed in areas very similar, and there's proven methodologies, setback distances, avoidance controls, buffer zones, etc., during, before, and after construction that will completely minimise any risk whatsoever. And I can categorically state that we believe that the risk towards the water source in Youghal is not there.
So it doesn't exist, and that's a fear born out of ignorance.
No, at the moment, see, as I mentioned, we're in this early stage of designing the project. We're consulting locally and we're answering those concerns. And that's not the first time, obviously, somebody has asked that question to us. And it's up to us now. And what we're doing at the moment is showing people the mitigation measures that we're putting in place, explaining to them about our buffer zones, about our control measures, and providing the facts and the information behind our discussion.
Quite. Do you find that most people would be in favour of renewable energy?
I think most people fully accept the rationale behind renewable energy. We have a government policy here to decarbonise the energy sector, completely decarbonise by 2050. Now, what I mean by decarbonise is that every vehicle we drive, every factory we work in, every farm we work on will be completely displaced, fossil fuels will be completely displaced and replaced by indigenous renewable energy, keeping the money circulating in our economy. And to do that, it needs a lot of change here today, and renewable electricity is one of the changes. But also, that's at the high level. There's also a lot of local benefits that we're quite excited about on wind farm projects. Now, we're not talking about these benefits quite vocally locally because we're in the discussion of discussing some of the key questions that the local stakeholders have. But there are some real benefits for the project here. A project of this scale would contribute in a shared benefit scheme that Innogy implement between, depending on the scale of the project and the number of turbines, between 400,000 and 600,000 euros of revenue that will go directly to the community, for the community and what the community wish to do with that. It also has local tax benefits. The project of this scale would contribute between about 500,000 and 600,000 euros per annum of business rates that would go to the county councils that otherwise would have to be supplied by local businesses in the community. So there's tangible benefits there. And I think a majority of people, as we explain these benefits, as we can answer some of their other questions, are supportive of renewable energy, in particular onshore wind as well.
Yeah, I mean, but one of the big things that I guess came out of the meeting and from talking to the people in Windermere was that the vast majority of the people around that area don't actually want it there, and they're quite disapproving of the work that's being planned, and they feel they're being railroaded. Is it incumbent on you to properly engage with those people, and what real engagement have you had other than knocking on doors?
Yeah, well, we've held a meeting in a local community hall back in May, 31st of May of last year, which was very well attended. But some of those meetings in the local town hall, it doesn't really get proper engagement. So we embarked then on a full door-to-door engagement where we're looking to have conversations at the time that suits themselves to discuss the project. Everyone will living within 1.5 kilometres of the project. So in those meetings, people can be frank, open and honest about their concerns. Some of the concerns and questions they have for us, we don't have all the answers right there, but we go away, and with that information, with that feedback, we're able to refine our project, to develop a responsible project that
based around public consent.
That we can answer the concerns, and once those concerns are fully answered and transparent, that we believe that a lot of the concerns that you mentioned there will be alleviated.
And it is quite important, because if you look at the Aarhus Convention, which Ireland has ratified and signed up to as well, it states that public participation is the cornerstone of any development, particularly in renewable energy projects, because, you know, often or not, there's limited consultations, and it's just maybe a bit of tokenism from the company, the renewable energy company, with the public as well. And also in the Wind Energy Development Guidelines published last year by Minister Coveney as well, states the same thing.
Correct, yes, and this is why we're engaging early, we're engaging intensively. We still haven't confirmed on a submission date because we're not ready and we're not finishing our consultation in taking the comments and the feedback that we've got on board to incorporate into what we believe will be a responsible project. On the participation, one of the things that I'm quite excited about for the industry going forward is not only the benefits that I mentioned into the community, but it'll also give the community an opportunity, if they wish, to invest in the project, to share in the long-term benefits of the project. So that's a new policy that the government are making a criteria for not just onshore wind development, but all renewable development going forward.
So is it like community rewards?
There will be community benefit, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. There will be a mandatory community benefit, which the community can decide what they want to do with that money themselves. For example, in some of the projects we're involved in other jurisdictions, it's educational bursaries for third-level education, it's supporting the local mountain rescue, etc. But it's really the community decide what they want to do with that shared benefit. But as also they have an opportunity and as a community and on a personal level to invest in the wind farm if they so wish to do.
Quite.
So again, to share the long-term benefit within the local area is a key part of the cornerstone of energy's development.
I assume then throughout or in the coming months, I guess you'll be carrying out impact statements, strategic environmental assessments and things like that.
Correct. All the surveys are currently ongoing at the moment. It's in the relatively early stages of development.
Right, because I guess one of the things that people bring up is, you know, it kills birds, it kills bats and things like this, and noise, and obviously land use as well, but the noise and the effect on wildlife is two of the major things as well.
Of course. Look, any planning application, we have to prove beyond reasonable doubt that our project will not only maintain but also will enhance the local biodiversity of the area. So that's the cornerstone of all planning onshore wind planning developments. You mentioned the noise. The planning guidelines that all wind farms that are currently in operation in Ireland were developed under the old planning guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So people who may have concerns about the noise limits of existing wind farms They're under the old planning guidelines. However, the new planning guidelines that are in draft form at the moment, we're designing this project with the new planning guidelines, new draft guidelines. So their noise limitations is significantly more restrictive. So, for instance, if we were having this conversation, we were having this conversation under a wind turbine, you know, we could easily have that conversation. That's the noise limits. And I would encourage, actually, a lot of your listeners to go visit a wind farm, you know, to understand this in person yourself, you know, to get on the ground and just, you know, get a feel for it themselves.
And presumably the blades on one of the structures is a lot different from what it was a few years ago as well.
Well, it's, as someone said to me, it's like mobile phones, technology has moved on. In the last 10 years, wind turbine technology has moved on as well to make them quieter and more efficient.
And as I understand it, it's equivalent to nighttime noise levels?
Correct. The new planning guidelines are significantly more. It's on the baseline is on nighttime levels. Yeah.
So overall, what timescales are we looking at for the whole build process?
Well, Will, at the moment we're concentrating on the development phase. We're meeting local stakeholders. We're incorporating that into our design. We hope we will have another consultation event in the town hall. We'll notify people of that. There's information that people can go on our website, which is lyrawindfarm.com, which should get more information. Once it goes into planning, the construction timeline itself, when all things going well, comes out, the construction timeline is about 18 months.
Fair bit down the road yet.
Correct.
Now, Innogy yourselves, you're a wholly owned German company, and Germany itself has about 25% of its electricity from renewable energies, particularly wind, and this is heading up to 80% over the next 30 years.
Yeah, we're international company. Our key business is the development, operate, and owning of renewable energy assets. We own it's onshore wind, offshore wind, solar, biomass, hydro. We have offices in Kilkenny. We've a number of staff who work out of those offices and work regionally. And we're quite excited to be part of what is an exciting time in the energy market in Ireland, where we currently have 30% of electricity coming from renewables, which is mostly wind. About 98% is onshore wind. Our target by 2030 is to have 55%, you know, so there's a significant leap forward.
Big leap, yeah. And just one final question. A lot of people have said, why can't you put this offshore?
Mm. Well, as mentioned, the challenge to decarbonise the energy sector in Ireland is immense. As I said, our target by 2030 is 55%, but the target by 2050 is 100% of electricity. So we need all technologies. We need onshore wind, we need offshore wind, we need solar PV, rooftop solar, ground-mounted, solar heat pumps, biomass. We need all the technologies, because one technology will not deliver on those ambitious targets we have.
Cathal, thank you very much. I appreciate you talking to us today.
No problem, Will. Thank you very much for having me.
Cathal Hennessy there from Innogy Renewables Ireland, and I'm sure this one is going to go on, and I've no doubt that we will be getting back in touch with Mr. Patrick Massey and also Cathal Hennessy in the future as well, as this progresses and as more meetings take place, more community meetings and various rights of reply by both parties as well. It's extremely important for people to get involved in it as well, and it's extremely important for people to be aware and understand exactly what happens and what is going on as well. So, like I said, we shall hear more of this as well.